Monster Man, episode 325, Arania and Ashcrawler. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are beginning the Monsters section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we get into that, though, it's time for me to thank some new sponsors. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And depending on the level that they've pledged at, they've got a bunch of different rewards, ranging from occasional audio bonus content to new episodes of my show Patron Deities, which is all about the Deities and Demigods book, to the opportunity to choose a subject for a special episode of Monster Man. So thank you very much to Ben Paulson, Simone Conola, who I note is pledging in euros, which is something you can do now. You can pledge in your home currency. I've got subscribers in dollars, euros, and pounds, and Witter Slancha. That's a third Patreon backer, not a currency you've never heard of. Thank you all so much. It means a lot to me that you're enjoying this show enough that you want to help support it. All right, so we are moving into a new section. This is the monster section, and it's kind of a catch-all. Monsters are, they don't fall into any of the other categories. They are kind of unique beings. Maybe not unique beings, but like unique types. If you're hearing some high-pitched squeaking in the background, that is because my wife Allison and our dog Pepper are playing Squeaky Ball, which is the best game. Okay, I mentioned the illustration last time. It depicts a dragon-like creature attacking a couple of guys on the edge of a cliff or something, and it's good. Again, in general, I think that the artwork in this book is of a pretty consistently high quality. You know, some illustrations are better, some illustrations are worse, but they're none of them really bad. Not many of them, anyhow. And, I'll say that for kind of classic period TSR, that in general, they were producing a really competent, solid level of art, which then sometimes crossed the line into the exceptional. It's a bit like the Marvel Comics house style or something like that, you know? You don't get a lot of surprises in most TSR products, but in general, the art's pretty good. Although, you know, I was reading for this episode, X1, Isle of Dread, and the art in there is by Tim Truman. I didn't know Tim Truman did RPG art at all. Look, every day's a school day. So speaking of Isle of Dread, let's take a look at one of the monsters from that scenario. Now, you'll recall that X1, Isle of Dread, was the adventure that was included in the Expert box set. The Arania are a race of intelligent giant spider people. They look like spiders, except for a bulge on the top of their bodies, which is kind of their brain case. The Arania are kind of presented, they're not presented in a great deal of detail in Isle of Dread. They mainly serve as rivals to another type of creature that we've already discussed in the humanoid section, the Thanaton. And I looked them up in Isle of Dread, and the relatively brief description given of them here is not really expanded on. In Isle of Dread, the only difference is that you learn a little more about their homes, which are these kinds of cave-like, they create them from webs, and they sort of hang between trees, and they're sort of like giant hammocks, but they can also create other things out of webbing and detritus. So they have like furniture in there and things like that, but it's all a bit crude. I think that moment of discovery could be a lot of fun. Like, you're investigating what you think is the lair of a giant spider, and then you realize it has like a footstool. Because the Arania are intelligent. They have flexible digits on their front limbs, which, no thanks, I don't like it. And they're all third level magic users, and they're a little bit solitary. They always live alone, although they often live close enough to other Aranians that they could travel to and from each other's houses, but they usually by themselves, and they spend a lot of their time engaged in magical research. So honestly, even though they are listed as having chaotic alignments, and I think, you know, in Isle of Dread, I think the assumption is that the big-eyed lemur-like Thanaton are meant to be understood as goodies, and the spider Arania meant to be understood as baddies, I think there's something quite charming about, you know, actually talking to the Arania, and you know, they're sort of like wizardy hermits who live in the woods. They kind of fulfill like a witch archetype. So yeah, I mean, I think they have a lot of potential as kind of either a tense diplomatic encounter or an unlikely ally, maybe even a bit more so than as a simple enemy. Next up, we have the Ashcrawler. Ashcrawlers are kind of ratty, piggy kind of creatures. They live in areas where there are sources of fire, and they will even cuddle the source of fire to protect it. So they live in sort of like volcanoes, I guess. It talks about areas where there are layers of ash. They have a couple of different interesting little mechanical complications. So they have a bite attack, which if it hits, they can kind of continue to cling onto you and gnaw. They have a prehensile tail, which they can use to trip people. They're generally kind of fantasy wildlife creatures. And then they have a few, you know, fun little mechanical flourishes. I don't know why they're in this section as opposed to one of the others, but I have kind of given up worrying about that. As I began this recording, not while I was prepping the episode, but it actually sort of occurs to me right now that the Ashcrawlers resemble the rodents of unusual size from The Princess Bride. Because the rodents of unusual size do live in an environment where there's a lot of fire, the fire swamp. And they do have a slightly kind of blunt face compared to a rat. I mean, they don't really look like rats. They have kind of hog-like faces. Now, unlike that, Ashcrawlers, rodents of unusual size, are vulnerable to fire. I mean, that's kind of their main thing. So obviously, it's not a one-for-one comparison. But I wonder if the kind of look of them wasn't maybe rodents of unusual size. Or maybe just, if you want to make a rat look more menacing, you're going to give it, you know, some kind of tusks, which is naturally going to give it a more hog-like facial appearance. These monsters originate in another solo adventure, and of course this is a reminder that in the 80s, like the early to mid 80s, and the name of the game was solo fantasy game books. Fighting Fantasy, Tunnels and Trolls, D&D had them as well, although I don't think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that those D&D ones are actually really popular, but just that nobody remembers them and everybody talks about Fighting Fantasy and Lone Wolf. We were only just starting to approach the moment not only when computer RPGs, single-player RPGs, had reached the level of sophistication that they could provide that sort of satisfying gaming experience, and also that computers and game consoles that could provide that experience were starting to appear in a large number of homes. So for a little while there, the solo fantasy game book was, you know, the hot commodity. But I've never heard of this one, Adventure CM5 Mystery of the Snow Pearls, because we've mentioned a couple of monsters that that came from solo adventures. I think both Redworm and the Fierce Naka do, and so do the Fedorn and the Silver Warrior. And so it's just interesting to see that TSR is treating these as if they are identical, in a sense, to other D&D adventures, right? They all fit within the broad umbrella of D&D scenarios, and you can have monsters from them just in the same way that you could have monsters from Castle Amber or Drums on Fire Mountain in your monster collection. And I think it's just, it's something that doesn't exist now, right? I'm not saying that there aren't new fighting fantasy books coming out, but in general, I would say that within the gaming, the RPG gaming world, within the world of like the hardcore RPG fan, the solo game book is seen as kind of a niche market. I was never really into solo games when I was a kid, maybe because I'm like that Nintendo generation. Around the time that I would have been into them, I was playing Tunnels and Trolls at lunch with my friends, or I was playing The Legend of Zelda. Mind you, there was a kid on my block who loved Lone Wolf, and he was younger than I was. So I don't know. Boy, that was kind of a digression. Anyway, the Ashcrawler is fine. It's like a big rat guy. It's in a volcano that you're trying to get into or something. And it is a somewhat more interesting and thought-provoking fight than just fighting a bunch of giant rats and seeing who's tougher would be. It is fine. And there's nothing wrong with fine. All right. Our next episode is going to be a special episode requested by one of my Patreon backers, like I mentioned earlier. And it's going to be about monsters from the id. And then this Friday, we got another two monsters from the monsters section of Creature Catalog as we talk about the Baldandar and the Banshee, Lesser, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.